This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Try. It's Nelly Furtado. I still love that song. It's what? A couple of years old now. 2004? It's very old, actually.
What was making her so sad in that song?
I don't know.
I just caught the back end of it.
It's just beautiful. I remember when it came out. In fact, I saw her perform that live when I was in Los Angeles.
She seems very upset, Gareth.
Well, I don't know if she's upset. She's just emotional about her music, which a lot of good artists are.
That's fine then.
All right. It is Friday morning. Everybody's in a good mood. The weekend is finally here. As I mentioned a moment ago, we'll speak to a guy just now called Begging Gamma. He is the creative director at Ben & Company. It's not you, Ben. It's Ben & Company. These guys, I showed my buddy the little pamphlet. It's a beautiful booklet of what they've made in terms of jewelry, and her eyes popped out of her head. And you're not really the kind of person who likes flashy stuff, but my God, these are beautiful items.
It's got a very luxurious look about it.
Yeah, their brochure looks expensive. Forget about what they're advertising.
Yes. So Becky's like the jeweler to the stars. And we're going to talk to him about all the questions that you have. I have lots of questions about, you know, that whole world of jewelry and stones and the metals and the who puts it together, who designs them, and how expensive is it? There are a thousand things I want to know.
I feel I'm too poor to even ask a question.
Yeah,
you are.
That's why my eyes popped out, because I was reminded of which class bracket I do not fall into as I was paging through this.
I don't even fall into the first. I don't even fall into the inside cover of that brochure.
And I'm curious about his own life story, and we'll find out what that is. But first things first, we don't want to mess around here. People have got things to do, places to go, and they're going to be asked awkward questions, as you are every day, by people who think that they've learned more than you did the previous day. You know how it is. There's always pressure that you need to be on top of things. You need to know what's happening in the world. So, in order to help us with that, Mubs is here with the latest in the news. That's right. The way you like it. Great trumpet playing there by Palesa. All right, Mubs, what do you got for us?
Oh, goodness. There is a horrific story that's grabbing news headlines all over the world, coming out of the UK, where two handymen have been in court and are accused of raping a Vietnamese nail bar owner, burning her alive, and then taking a grinning selfie after the fact.
Jesus, what kind of monsters are these?
Stephen Unwin and John McCall are said to have subjected Kuyen Nguyen to a five-hour sex abuse ordeal. She was allegedly forced to hand over bank card security numbers before being driven in her own car to a remote spot.
Monsters?
Yeah.
They really are monsters. And this is in England?
Yes. Yes.
I tell you what. You might live in Afghanistan. You might think this is a dangerous place to live. You hear stories like this poor nail bar owner tortured like this and sexually abused and then killed. And you hear about like Fritzl. And you hear about these school shootings. And you think, you know what? The third world may be horrible, but it's just as bad anywhere else. There are sick people all over the world. In every single country.
Gosh, it's just so disturbing on so many levels, because, you know, you immediately think to yourself, well, how does one get to that level of brutality against another person?
Yeah.
And then after that, you immediately think to yourself, I hope I never have to go through something like that. Like, I hope nothing like that ever touches my life directly.
Yeah.
Cheapers, yeah.
Story.
But there's been a lot of outrage over this. The two men who have been in court are denying all the allegations. They're denying raping her. They're denying murdering her. But yes, this story has very quickly just grabbed headlines all over the world, and it is just horrific.
Jesus. All right. Oh, what a horrible story.
Yeah. Okay, so let's bring it back home for a second, and let's talk about listeriosis, because with now 172 people having died in the world's largest documented outbreak of listeriosis, The government is now urging people at high risk of the disease to avoid a whole bunch of things, including processed meat.
Mm-hmm. Well, didn't we speak about this on Wednesday, what they put into that?
Well, or to cook it well before eating. So people at high risk include, you know, pregnant women. It includes adults over the age of 65. It includes people with weaker immune systems and people who are on medication. So listeriosis is caused by a bacteria that contaminates food. About 1 in 3 babies who have contracted the disease in this outbreak have died. The bacteria is named Listeria monocytogenes and will be killed if the food is cooked at temperatures above 70 degrees Celsius. So here are the kind of things that you should be avoiding. These processed ready-to-eat meats, right? Oh. The Viennas, the polonies, the Russians, the ham, cold meats,
yeah,
sausages, salami, pepperoni, all that stuff, and similar products. They've also included soft cheeses in there. They're saying, take a break from soft cheeses and other dairy products as well.
Oh, listeriosis. Avoid at all costs.
Especially the unpasteurized milk and dairy products. And always cook your food.
Tell you what, I've mentioned this 1,000 times, but I've got a digestive tract like a concrete mixer. You can put anything into me and I don't get stomach upsets. The last time I threw up was probably I was 10.
Yeah, you say that, but you eat margarita pizza, you eat salad and Avo.
Yeah, I know, the plainest food in the world.
You don't exactly roll the dice in the culinary sense, Gareth.
What did I have last night, Ben? Let me think. I'll tell you what I had. I had one of those salads that I added a little bit of chicken to. How do you like them apples?
Called the wild side
salad.
When you're there anymore.
No. What did I have the night before? Let's see how boring my life is. I think I had a curry or something.
Okay.
That was all right. That was a chicken curry, yeah, with some rice.
All right, that's a little bit wild for you.
Yesterday for lunch, salad with salmon.
Oh.
Exciting, huh?
Very fancy.
I'm letting you into my life here. This is very private. What else? I think I'm down 4 kilos from November last year.
Well, that's good.
What I was aiming for, remember? Yeah, okay. So if you stick to my boring, uninteresting life in terms of food, you'll also get there. That's what I'm aiming for.
All right, good job.
So the goal is being reached. I'm very proud. But yes, you could feed me anything. And Ben, you're right. My diet is fairly boring and my palate very philistine. But I will say this, even when I eat stuff that is very spicy, and I do, and you know, I have sushi occasionally, and I have interesting stuff that I go to restaurants for. I can't make a lot of good food, but I can taste good food. Even in the dangerous situation of shellfish horror, or of stuff that would make most people sick, I don't get sick.
Yeah, Gareth, look, this is all lovely.
Saying is, if listeriosis hit me, it would have a match. We'd be able to fight it.
No, I'm saying
fair match.
I'm saying
even contest.
This is all lovely until you eat at a live sports occasion, and then we can have a report back on your stomach.
Is that the most dangerous environment to eat in?
Go ahead.
Like a buri roll from
Give it a go.
From the rugby?
But we're not talking like someone goes to a school game and does something. You know those vendors, those restaurants that have like 3 days of business a year? You go eat something out of there.
Because the rest of the year, everything's festering in that caravan, right?
It sounds like you have a story that you want to share.
Well, what happened to you, Ben? How you got listeriosis? Is this the where it all started?
Look, I've walked a path in life. I've got stories. And look, I've learned. You know, I've done some regrettable things in my time. All I'm saying is that before you start trumpeting from the highest peaks about your great stomach.
No. All I'm saying is my stomach versus listeriosis is a much fairer fight than for most people.
So you think that listeriosis would get into your body and then get completely confused and say, I don't understand.
Say, this isn't human.
I am not defeating this one. Why not?
This one isn't human. We just better leave.
Oh, okay.
It'd take one day maybe of the runs and then I'd be rid of it. I'm telling you.
Look, I'm sure you would have heard a lot of people being outraged and upset.
I mean, is this what life's come to? You're taunting listeriosis.
This is my match.
You know what?
I've been waiting for this my whole life. You know, like like Ronaldo waited for Messi and Messi waited for Ronaldo so they could have a fair match.
If you if you're gonna make such a claim, you better be able to back it up.
Watch
I think you should you should voluntarily walk into the NICD, tell them to infect you with listeriosis so that we can see.
Well, what you know what? You wanna miss out on me for a week?
We won't miss out on anything. You're the one who's saying that
I'm
you would defeat it.
Listen. Fair playing field. I'm not going to go in and ask them to infect me. Listeriosis has got to come and get me.
Okay.
But I'm not going to sports matches and eating from those caravans Ben's talking about either. I'm not tempting stupidity and fate. Because I mean, you'll get more than listeriosis.
There really, I think there really is like there's like a Russian bar at Ellis Park, I'm pretty sure. I mean, you can buy a Russian... Firstly, that white bread is not leaving your system. You might as well put asbestos into your colon. And then as for the Russian...
Okay. Have you heard about how people have been reacting to the things that Donald Trump allegedly said in the last week about how he said, actually, we should be arming our teachers with guns? Mm. And then yesterday he came back and he said, no, I never said we should arm our teachers with guns. I said that we should, you know, look out for teachers with specialized gun training and we should arm them. And that would only be a small majority of them. Now, in America, a lot of their schools have deputies that are assigned to them, and these guys are armed, and they're supposed to walk around on the school campuses and protect the kids and the staff, right? Well, the armed sheriff's deputy assigned to the school in Florida where the shooting occurred that led to the death of 17 people, he has now resigned. And this is because he would rather do that than face suspension after an internal investigation showed he failed to enter the school to confront the gunman during the attack.
What, was he hiding outside?
Well, Gareth, it would seem that it is something like that. According to the county sheriff, Scott Israel, who said that he has reviewed CCTV footage of the day in question, he says, what I saw was a deputy arrive at the west side of Building 12 of the school. He took up a position, but he never went inside the school to confront the gunman. Hmm. Israel told reporters the shooting in at the school lasted 6 minutes, but that Peterson arrived at the freshman building about 90 seconds after the school shots were fired, and then he kind of lingered outside for about 4 minutes.
Wow.
So asked what the deputy should have done, Israel replied, well, he should have gone in, he should have addressed the killer, and he should have shot the killer.
That's what he's there for. That's his job. I mean, you spend your whole life, if you're the deputy at the school, waiting for something, not waiting for as if you're excited about it, but your job is to be on standby for when something awful like this happens. And at that one moment, the whole reason you exist in that job, at that moment you have doubt? Come on. I know loads of people who would love to have that kind of a job. You know, they're the kind of people who say, oh, no, I'm ready for a fight. I'm ready for this. You know, sort of braver people, people who don't mind getting into altercations. Maybe people who are just very motivated to keep kids safe. I don't know. Mm. But this guy doesn't sound like the right guy for the job. And just resigning doesn't sound like it's good enough either. Because he could have saved some lives.
He could have saved some lives. Now, what of the counter-argument that in a life-and-death situation, he got scared? Maybe that's all that happened here.
I understand.
The guy got scared and then he just thought, okay, I'm not going to put myself in the line of danger, even though that is precisely the reason why I've been hired.
Yeah, but situations like this, you don't get the appropriate training. You need, like, retired Navy SEALs or...
bodyguards.
Combat someone like soldiers that. Or someone. Yeah.
Can you imagine if a bodyguard that you've hired for an event, the bodyguard decides at the event, oh, no, this is too much for me, and, like, runs away screaming with his panties falling down at his knees.
Yeah. No, you but, like, the thing is, there's a reason why these guys get paid a lot of money, the real professionals. Like, if you do a big deal in a platinum mine, the guy's holding your bag, don't just know a little bit of judo. I mean, these guys have seen some stuff.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, seeing as these schools are war zones, you need people who are appropriately trained for that.
The schools should take the trouble to train these people. If I lived in America and I were a parent and my kid was at one of these schools, I would probably want to pay a little more to make sure they were safe.
Yeah, but I don't think you can physically go and put Officer Dan through a training of a week. He needs to be in Afghanistan. He needs to be in places where he is.
There are probably plenty of people who come out of war.
That's what I'm getting
at. And they're ready to be deployed in these different jobs.
Exactly. But the only thing is, a lot of these people are kind of like that movie The Sniper, where that guy kills
Bradley Cooper. PTSD.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, aren't a lot of these guys damaged goods coming out of war?
No! There's no easy answers to this thing, huh?
It really is such a gray area. So Israel said that he's not going to be releasing this video that he has referred to at this point in time and may never do so, but this will all depend on the prosecution and criminal case against Nicholas Cruz, who's the 19-year-old, being charged with 17 counts of premeditated murder in the assault. So this sheriff's deputy, they opened up this investigation after they watched the CCTV footage, and then he decided, you know what, actually, that's it. I'll handle my resignation later because I know where this is all going to end.
You could say it's CCTV footage or CCTV footage in this case.
Well, that's what they're going to say when he opens the door at the bar.
Oh, yeah. Not that that's his biggest problem in life. I mean, he's got these dead kids to think about forever.
Well, he's still alive, yeah.
He could have made a difference. I don't know. It's so difficult. You know, afterwards, everyone's an expert.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
These things happen, and it's a horrible, nasty situation, and everybody's horrified, including me.
Yeah.
And we all have answers, like we would have known what to do.
I know when I was caught in that shootout, I didn't really know
what
to do.
Ben, you were shot.
You were shot.
But you don't really know what to do. You act on your instincts, so you don't know what your instinct is towards those things. Because
God, that's crazy.
What did you do?
Well, there was three of them with big guns. I drove away.
No, but...
Smart.
I didn't get out and suddenly everyone was kung fu fighting.
But you actually took a bullet.
Yeah.
Where did it get you again?
In shoulder.
Still got the mark?
Not really. Just looks like I walked into a kettle.
At least have the mark. Yeah. If you have a story there, use it at the bar to get free drinks.
Okay.
Ben made it. He should be making survival songs right now. He should be singing songs in karaoke establishments saying he made it.
Well, Beyonce did dedicate that one song to me.
Which one?
Which one? I'm a survivor. Okay.
That's yours?
Well, it wasn't All the Single Ladies, was it? Definitely wasn't Independent Woman.
By the way, how's her marriage with Jay-Z? I mean, the two of them... I saw that they admitted that there'd been extramarital affairs with Jay-Z and other women. And that, remember that whole elevator incident that they tried to hush up with Solange in the lift? And then they went away, and now they put out songs about each other.
Mm.
What's going on there? Are those two okay?
Yeah, they seem to be opting to stay together as opposed to going through the typical Hollywood
split.
You reckon
they're still banging?
You know, I don't know how these things work in unions, because typically when a woman discovers that, you know, the guy that she's with has been cheating on her.
Yeah, she gets kind of turned off.
She pulls away. Mm. But she did give birth to twins last year. So up until a point, she was definitely allowing him to have sex with her.
Hi, Jay-Z. I'd check out the paternity tests. Because that cheating happened long before then, and Beyonce might have been spiteful. She might have done her own little bit of looking around.
Well,
why not?
Jay-Z had said that, you know, initially the two of them were meant to release their albums at exactly the same time. So she was meant to release Lemonade, and then he was going to release 444. It was all meant to happen at the same time. But then she finished her project first because he was kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was just like, fuck you, I'm releasing mine anyway.
Jeez, there's a lot of competition in that marriage. Huh?
And then because Jay-Z had some catching up to do, then he only released his later. Or it could have been like a perfectly executed marketing strategy.
Yeah, you never know.
Those two are brilliant at marketing.
That they are. Anyway, I wonder about them because they seem on the face of it to be like one of the most successful power couples of all time. And they both have their own incredible careers. It's not like one depended on the other to make it. But together they are more powerful than apart.
Mm.
I mean, between the two of them, they could probably wrestle up any phone number in the world.
Sure.
I mean, they're friends with Barack Obama. You know?
Yeah.
Oprah. Who can they not get hold of? They're friends with everybody. It's a powerful, networks they belong to.
Mm.
And I'm just curious because they diss each other in their songs. sounds like there's a little bit of underlying tension. I think the one to ask is Blue Iris, the child.
Blue Ivy.
Blue Ivy, yes. Whatever. Blue Iris. I don't know what her name is. And the other child, what are the other two kids called?
Okay.
Sia would know.
Yes, I was just going to say, Sia's not here, you see.
Mabalian pop culture, it's like, really? Do I have to know this? I heard that Kanye and Kim, what did they call their kid? Does anybody know that one?
Chicago?
Is it Chicago?
I think.
The new kid.
The new child, yes. Yeah. Chicago.
All right. Well, that's quite normal.
Well, I mean.
Didn't they call the last one South by Southwest or something?
Yeah. I think it was Comic-Con, actually.
Comic-Con, yeah.
But I
named it after a conference.
I think we've gotten to a point by celebrity standards where if you name your child something normal, there's actually something wrong with you. You have to name your child something.
Yeah, they've got Saint
left
West.
Left of center.
They got Northwest, Saint West, and Chicago West.
Yeah. But it's bound to go back full circle.
Saint West.
Like, you're going to see Jane, Peter.
Eventually?
Tim.
You think?
Yeah.
Ben.
And, you know, this started a while back. I mean, one of Gwen Stefani's children is Zuma. Like,
that's right.
You know?
I mean, what a thing to do to your child.
These celebrities have been doing this for a while, actually.
Yeah, but that's named after the high-end Asian food restaurant, though, not the...
No, obviously not our...
If you had a kid, what would you call it?
Oh, gosh.
You ever thought about this?
No.
Everybody has done Lime Mubs. You've made a list.
A list of baby names.
A list of five different girls' names and five different boys' names.
I just saw you on your new phone putting the list in.
Yes, exactly. It's in your notes. Ben, what would you call your kid if you had one? Normal name? Sensible name? Or would you go for something a little exotic?
I don't know. I've given thoughts of what I'd name, like, another cat or another dog, but I've never given thoughts to naming a child.
Neither have I, honestly.
I literally have never given thought to what I would name a child.
I'm just wondering, because you think about these parents, do they ever think about it before they actually have the kid, or do they?
Yeah, of course they do, because
they do.
Because when you're pregnant, because you know, couples always go, "Well, we're pregnant." That's
we're pregnant.
You always talk about stuff relating to that, I imagine.
Yeah. And
people always ask you that when you go to kids' parties. They go, "So, have you thought of a name yet?"
Mm. And you know, some couples, depending on how many children they have, they'll say, "Okay, you name the first one, and then I'll name the next one." Because
I've heard about that.
They want to feel like I got involved at some, you know, in some way, in our children's naming process.
All I know is that I want a dog called Fernando.
Okay.
Like the ABBA song. Like a black Labrador called Fernando.
Of course, like the ABBA song.
I can give you that answer with some authority. Child, no, because I've just never wanted a child.
Look, if I ever ended up mothering some poor soul, a lot of it would also factor in the father. Is he Zulu? Is he Sotho? Is he Xhosa?
Yeah, see, that makes sense. Yeah.
Then, you know, then you've got to take those things into consideration, blah, blah, blah.
Someone says they've got a friend on Facebook who called their child Raven, R-A-V-E-N.
Does he fight crime now?
It could be. That's not all bad, I don't think. I mean, it's different. It's definitely, it has a cool element. So apparently the two kids are Sir and Rumi Carter.
Oh, the twins. Yeah. Okay. Well,
and then someone says, have you seen those kids? They all look like Jay-Z and not in a good way. Definitely his kids.
Yeah.
Shame. That is so unfortunate to say that about those children.
Yeah. One thing I will say, if I was ever pushed to a name, I wouldn't take some sort of cultural appropriation. You know, like, because I don't really care about that kind of stuff. So it wouldn't have an English or Polish, Italian, whatever name. It'd be like a neutral, borderless, geographically insensitive name.
That way your
like
kid,
what?
Well, that way it can live anywhere without people struggling to pronounce.
I don't want a kid destined to like.
And
go
for two or three syllables max. Don't go for more than that. If you go for four or five syllables, you're asking for trouble because no one's ever going to get that name right.
So you're saying formaldehyde isn't a good one?
Not a great name, no.
Formaldehyde.
Imagine. I mean, Ben is a good name, right? It's Benjamin, but you shorten it to Ben. Ben, who can't spell Ben?
You'd be surprised.
You're joking. Oh, Ben went to the post office for me yesterday. He had to go and collect something. What did you get, by the way?
Someone sent me something really amazing. I have no idea who it is.
What, in the post? Because we got these three postal slips, yeah. And I said to Ben, you go and get this because, you know, I've collected for you before, which I turned out not to have.
Yeah, like rather than just asking me for a simple favor, you got all obnoxious with me, telling me how he's done amazing things for me. And just,
please.
Jeepers, I was just trying to do some work.
I apologized. Just tell your story. So what did you get?
The Golf Journal. It's this really amazing like golf publication. Huh. They sent me a copy, but it didn't, like, I don't know where it's come from. It must be from them. And there's a delightful story of At Home with Gary Player.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Oh, God.
It's on the blog.
So then he sends me this message, because now he's collected my two parcels as well, right? And I never know where anything comes from when it comes to the post office here.
It's a sign for you.
So he says, something from Gong Show Ping. Is that a friend of yours? So I go, yes, old friend. Ben goes, it's a gerbil, sadly dead. But Beavers of 73 hardcover edition is still in its packaging. So I said, that's great. It was actually the book from Jordan Peterson. Who we're going to be interviewing in the next few days. He sent me his book.
Isn't that Roman's man crush?
Roman's hero, yeah. He's written a book called 12 Rules to Live By. 12 things you... I don't know what it's called. I'll go and look and I'll read through it this weekend. But he's great, so I can't wait to read that. And the gerbil was dead. I think they think I wanted it as a food source. Maybe that's why they posted it in that flat packaging. But there we go.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a couple of other things to get to. We've got Becking Gemma, who's going to pop in just now. He started this company, Ben & Co. And by the way, there's no co. It's actually just him. He's the whole company, but he's done such an amazing job. And he's,
but the co becomes the customer because together in this.
Well, I mean, this store is amazing. And I'm not so – this is not some kind of a plug for him because he's not spending money with us, but – he started this thing on his own. He's a successful entrepreneur. He's got this great business. And I want to find out how it all started. And also, the jewelry business is fascinating. There isn't anyone I know who isn't interested in what these stones are, what the average South African engagement ring is. And he's by no means average, because the stuff he makes is top end, and it's for, you know, the stars. It's for very wealthy people, I'm sure.
I can't see behind me, and I'm not going to turn around. But does he have a bodyguard with him?
No.
Because this is a hardcore industry, this jewelry thing.
He's a civilized human being.
We've all seen that Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
But that was about the blood diamonds, Ben. That's what we're talking about. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, but people like that, they're in the business somewhere. I'm not saying our esteemed guest is, obviously.
All right. Anything else you want to throw in, Mubs, news-wise? Something we need to know about before we start our day?
Well, just lastly, you know, if you are a hater of the Kardashian clan, then this story will really irritate you. Snapchat stock losses of 1.3 billion rand, all because of a Kylie Jenner tweet.
What did she do?
What influence does for you. So, Snap stock closed down 6% on Thursday after the reality TV star said that she is no longer using the app. The plunge wiped about 1.3 billion rand off the company's market, according to news reports.
Wow, one of the Kardashians.
How is that for influence, hey? So Jenna has been one of Snapchat's most influential users, and this is all she said on Wednesday. So, with that many
O's.
You
got to do it with vocal fry. Do it like her. There we go.
Does anyone else not open Snapchat anymore? Or is it just me? This is so sad.
This is so sad.
That's all she tweeted. And then 1.3 billion got wiped off their stock. I mean, this is annoying.
I think to remedy this, Caitlyn Jenner better show a picture of what she's got going on under the...
No!
Oh, yes. That's the only way they'll fix it. They owe Snapchat $1 billion, if you ask me.
You are officially the only person who still cares about what's happening in that area.
Oh, come on. You telling me you wouldn't look?
No, I wouldn't look.
Oh, rubbish, you would.
I would not.
I don't
believe
you. You want to know.
I don't.
Everyone would look.
Oh, come on,
everyone
guys.
Would look.
Like you, going past an accident, you look.
You would look on that new fancy phone of yours, and you would go, wow, the screen is actually really good.
Oh, gosh. And then what happens after you've looked, guys? What happens?
We move on.
Oh my god.
Wait a minute.
I just saw Caitlyn.
Woods Pyrmic Ridge, and it is grass.
Look, Snapchat have been having a tough time in any case, okay? They recently came under fire from
their... I still don't get this app.
From their users. They've criticized the app's new layout. 1.2 million people have signed a petition on change.org asking Snapchat to remove the redesign. And then Kylie Jenner went and tweeted this. And you know, every time a Kardashian tweets, something happens.
Oh yeah, something way beyond what they should.
Something happens.
You know, these people should not have the influence they have, but they do for better or worse. Snapchat, I wouldn't take stock in Snapchat if you gave it to me, because I don't think it's going to be a big deal. Everything that Snapchat developed in the beginning, all the other apps can do now.
Well,
what's their special thing?
Instagram essentially just fleeced all ideas. Instagram did a Cyril to Juliet with the land.
Right.
That's basically what happened.
Pipped them to the post.
Well, I just took the idea and made it more mainstream.
But is there any reason Snapchat should exist? Am I missing something? I mean, what's their unique selling point as opposed to all the other social media?
Well, it just gives millennials a platform to be millennials. But those millennials grow up and then... The next generation has another Snapchat thing.
But when Snapchat started, they were kind of a big deal.
Sure.
I mean, they came onto the scene with something that was unique to only them.
They invented those filters and those, like, you put the little sort of animations into your pictures and tell a story. Now Instagram's got stories and filters and the blah, 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 blah.
It allowed young girls to look like forest animals. I mean, and that for some Bambi was a defining moment in their lives.
Yes.
So let's not knock it.
With the flower crown and the dog ears.
Dog ears. I mean, where would the youth be without dog ears on a selfie?
I don't know, Ben.
I don't know either, Mubs.
They would not. I shudder to think of a world without dog ears and flower crowns.
Flower crowns. A circle.
I think we just sound old and cantankerous.
Not
but
probably.
I mean, there's a huge market for that kind of thing.
That's the sound of Snapchat's shareholders right now.
Sure.
You're telling me that this... Can you imagine the meeting? The CEO of Snapchat is like, are you telling me that this one Kardashian has ruined our company? Yes, sir. It appears that one of the Kardashians tweeted this nonsense, and now suddenly we've lost $1.3 billion of our value. What? I built this company with my sweat and my tears and my ideas, and I've been putting everything into it, and one Kardashian tweeted... Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Jeez, I mean, it's insane. This is being reported by BBC, billions by Bloomberg. Like, it's just...
And billions and billions and billions.
How many followers does Kim Kardashian have at the moment?
Billions. Where?
On Twitter.
Oh.
Or on Instagram. Either of them.
I think she... Okay,
must be in the hundreds of millions, right?
Yeah, probably.
Billions and billions and billions and billions.
I can't believe that. That's incredible.
Billions and billions and
billions. I also
there is
can't
no
believe
TV
it.
Channel. There is no... television show. There is no radio program in the world. There is no medium that you could have in human history where you could reach this many people as she does in one tweet. That's powerful.
108 million on Instagram.
That is powerful. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to speak to Begging Gamma. He's the founder and creative director of Ben & Co., a jewelry designer from Pretoria. He grew up in Mpumalanga, launched his company 2012 only, Mubs.
Sure.
He has rings, bracelets, earrings manufactured for countless clients. He won the Plat Africa Jewelry Design Awards in 2015. He was the overall winner of the 2008 De Beers Diamond Trading Company Shining Light Awards. And he's worked at the Diamond Corporation in Pretoria for 5 years before he went out on his own. But I love people who are brave enough to go out on their own. And he started this business. He's now hugely successful, makes amazing, beautiful stuff. And I want to know how that business works, don't you?
Sure.
We can find out from him next. That's all coming up on CliffCentral.com Friday morning. All
right, Meghan Trainor and Lips Are Moving, Friday morning, 19 minutes to 8. Hey, by the way, it's Friday, and if you're looking for a podcast with a twist, a music podcast, you can catch the O'Neill Africa Experience right here on cliffcentral.com. It's unlocked by Castle Light, and he's always got the most incredible musicians on his show. O'Neill is on live today, and he'll be here with his in-house band. He often gets rappers, and he had Deleuze in here the other day, and the podcast is available, as are all of them, on cliffcentral.com and on our app, anywhere you get your podcasts, really. And don't forget, Castle Light are bringing you the award-winning artist Chance the Rapper to their exhilarating Extra Cold experiences. The concert takes place on the 30th of April at the Ticket Pro Dome. You can get your tickets now at CompuTicket, and you don't want to miss this exclusive. Hashtag Castle Light Unlocks. Get your tickets now. It's only a couple of weeks to go, and Chance the Rapper will be here. All right, I'm excited because I love meeting entrepreneurs with a great story, people who are brave enough to venture out on their own, and people who have a discipline, a specific expertise, which positions them as the leaders in that environment. Now, Becky Ngema, who's sitting opposite me now, has started his own very successful already by most people's standards. They would be only too happy to have this business do as well as it's done. And I'm sure Becky has dreams and hopes and aspirations for it to get even bigger and more successful. But he's the creative director and founder of Ben & Company, which is a jewelry business. I've got to tell you, man, just looking through this book, you make some beautiful stuff. It's a pleasure to meet you, Becky.
Thanks, Garrett.
So how did you get into jewelry? I mean, you were from Mpumalanga. I know that they mine some of these stones there, but otherwise, how does someone get from Mpumalanga to here?
Yeah, Garrett, I come from a small town called Barberton. I'm told that's where the first stock exchange was, and we have a lot. When I say a lot, we've got a lot of gold there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we've got a lot of gold there. But I've always been an artistic person. And currently or recently, I have a best friend of mine, and he keeps reminding me that, dude, do you realize that standard six already, you told us that you wanted to become a jewelry designer?
Really?
Yeah.
So you knew this at an early age. Most people, I only figured out what I wanted to do when I was in my 20s, maybe.
Yeah, I think, you know? I guess I was one of the lucky ones, eh?
Yeah, that's incredible. So tell me, I mean, this world of jewelry, is it very difficult to get into, to jewelry design in particular? Is it a hard job to get training in?
Yes. First, the awareness, you know. When I meet people and I say I'm a jewelry designer and I actually went to school and studied that, their eyes pop, you know, away. Mm-hmm. How? What causes that? So It's not something that's popular, right?
Right.
And second, it's not something that's popular, especially in the black communities.
Yeah, sure.
You know, people.
And for a guy to say he wants to be a jewelry designer, most guys would say, "Well, what the hell's wrong with you?"
Yeah. Quick story. My first client. When I say first client, it's I think on my third year. You know, mm-hmm. this guy came to me and said he wanted a band. He's the very same guy that when I told him in my first year that I'm a jewelry designer, he said to me, "Why jewelry design? Why don't you become an accountant or something?" Mm. That really broke my heart. But
he supported
enough,
you.
Yeah,
it became your first client.
Years later, it became.
Well, he was obviously smart enough to see talent when he met you.
Yeah.
But I mean, you've gone on now. You've got this business. There can't be very many jewelry entrepreneurs. Black jewelry entrepreneurs in Pretoria.
In Pretoria, yeah. Mm. Look, I'm told I'm the first black retailer. Which is a bit of it's tough. It's sad in a sense that we need more black up and coming jewelry designers and retailers, you know, because as you may know, this is a very, very white dominated industry.
Sure.
You know. And
it's probably a very closed ecosystem too. I can't imagine even there are that many white people could just break into it. You know.
So last year, I got a call and I was invited by the chairman from the jewelry council to become the one of the board members. And, you know, I accepted the invite. And when my first meeting, my eyes just popped because it's a very, very small community of old white males.
I'm sure. I mean, it's like the people who don't De Beers control like 90% of the world's diamond production?
Yeah, yeah.
Look, what's amazing, though, is you've got to start somewhere. And, and for you to be the first guy to venture out here on your own means you're brave and that you believe in yourself. And clearly your clients believe in you, too, because they're supporting you. But I've heard that you've designed some very impressive pieces for some very, very well-known clients.
Yep.
Are you allowed to talk about them, or do you usually keep that stuff on the DL?
Yeah, we usually because look, it's high end stuff. You know, you don't want to expose people of exactly what they've purchased and how much is it.
Right.
But yeah, I've done items that will cost you 3,000 rand. I've done items that would cost you 800,000 rand.
800,000
yeah.
rand. Okay. What kind of an item is an 800,000 rand item?
You're looking at between a 5 or 6 carat cushion, color D VS1.
Oh.
What does that mean?
We know what that
explain,
means.
Explain. Okay. What's a cushion?
Is that a cut? Yeah.
A certain cut of diamond.
It's a certain cut. So a cushion cut is normally the name derives from actually the cushion that you would have on your sofa, yeah. So something like a cushion cut or an emerald cut, 5-6 carat, you expect to pay that much.
Yeah. And then you said color?
Look, with the color starts from D up until Z. So
is that diamonds in particular?
Yeah, okay. Diamonds in particular.
I used to remember that diamonds were either, they used to call them blue whites, if they were that extremely kind of clear, flawless,
yeah.
Right, and then they say blue, white, and then it goes all the way down. You get yellow diamonds, you get blue diamonds, you get white diamonds, you get all of those kinds of things.
But I love what the South African consumers have done, and or what the jewelry industry in South Africa have done, because consumers cannot actually afford yellow diamonds. So what they settle for like a very, very yellow color, and that's treated as like a fancy yellow diamond, you know.
Oh, so you don't think that those are particularly good stones?
They are good stones, but it's not actually a yellow diamond. A yellow diamond is a yellow diamond. But in South Africa, what we've done, we've actually taken a very, very tinted color, and we call that the fancy yellow color.
Is it almost like you think it's a bit costume jewelry-ish?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's a bit showy.
It's the same thing what happened with platinum. Platinum is it's your premium metal, but because of the price per gram, most people can't afford it, so they aspire to have platinum. Hence, they settle for white gold. So gold is actually yellow. Gold is yellow.
You have to create alloys
of gold.
So that's where you go from, like, if it's 24 carat, it's kind of a reddish yellow color.
Yeah, cheesy reddish yellow.
Right.
Yeah, and then 18, it's actually 75% of gold and bleached with other metals to make it
usually silver or copper or...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, you say platinum's so expensive. What's the difference between creating an engagement ring out of platinum and one out of white gold? Price wise,
you're looking at a 20% more.
Wow, for platinum
in terms of price, yeah, between 10 and 20%.
When did platinum become a jewelry metal? Because it used to be a metal that was mostly industrial.
Yes. It still is, but I guess because of the resistance and look, many jewelry makers like me, we enjoy platinum. It's one of the best metals.
Is it easy to work with?
It's hard to work with, but the quality that you get is absolutely amazing.
Because gold is much softer and more malleable.
Gold is much softer, right? And in the long run, it tends to scratch. So with gold, you have to treat it like a car, sort of. You know, you have to come back to me. I have to
do maintenance.
It and maintenance, you know. But with platinum...
Lasts longer.
Yeah, it lasts longer.
If you are creating a piece that's going to cost my future husband 800,000 rand, how long does it take you to create that piece from, you know, the initial stages of design until the final finished product that's being displayed in the store?
So we have a my business model is the quicker you pay the deposit,
the faster
you get your rent. But the whole process, it's just under 10 working days.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's quick.
All right, let's just go back to metals before we even move on to stones. So metals, you use platinum, you use gold, you'll use a little bit of silver and copper if you need to change the quality of the gold. Are there any other metals that you use?
Yes. You mean bleaching the metal?
Well, I mean, yeah, you wouldn't use these in their pure form.
Yeah. Look, the nice thing about metals is that there's silver. There's white gold, there's yellow gold. There's also a metal, interestingly enough, which is called palladium.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not in favor of that specific metal, simply because it's white, it's nice, it doesn't scratch as easily as white gold, but it has what you call a very low memory. So any metal has molecules. Mm-hmm. You know? So when you burn up the metal, the molecules need to get together and stick together. But with palladium, in the long run, those molecules, they don't stay together.
Okay.
So you get a lot of comebacks in terms of clients coming back to you and saying, my stone popped out, you know, because when you close the clause, it actually says, no, my memory serves me well, I was like this.
So palladium just goes back to its original state. Yeah, that's not good.
It's a nice metal. It's strong, but that's the downfall. That's why I'm not so much in favor of it. But
now, do you keep a supply of these around you all the time so that you can work immediately, or do you order when you need it?
Yes. So in this industry, there's a lot of regulations and that you need to be in line with. Gold regulations, diamond regulation, this, that, and the other. So my company specifically, we have those stuff in our factories, and you come to us, you say you want this engagement ring for your spouse. We immediately go to our factory, start manufacturing.
So do you have a safe with like a bar of gold in it, and you actually chop off a piece and start making a ring? Is that how it works?
It doesn't come in bars.
How does it?
It's actually granules.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, so it's almost actually, like, and then you have to melt that down.
Yeah, I have to make that down.
And that's where you start.
Yeah.
That's
because
amazing.
If you think about it, if it's in a bar, it will take you longer to melt it down.
Yeah, sure.
But in granules, it's easier.
How big are these granules?
It's small, maybe about between 0.5 to about 10 millimeters small.
In size, okay. Yeah, all right, tell me about stones, because South Africans, we're obsessed, as most people in the world, with diamonds.
Yeah.
Diamond's still the number one stone?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, and I don't think it's ever going to go out of fashion.
Do you use artificial diamonds, or do you use only the real ones that have been grown underground by pressure and temperature?
South Africa is still very much traditional when it comes to the diamonds. In the US, I know they sort of prefer what you call synthetic diamonds. You know, they're trying to run away from blood diamonds and, you know. But with South Africans, we still believe in your traditional natural diamonds. You know,
because we mine them here.
We mine them here.
Sure. And in Botswana, right? That's also a big place.
Yes, and Namibia.
All right. After diamond, what is the most popular stone?
After diamond, the most popular stone for my clients is tanzanite.
Really?
Yep.
Now, how much tanzanite is there? I heard that we're running out.
I'm not too sure. You know, I'm not too sure.
I only discovered this a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I think with tanzanite, I think they because it hasn't been doing so great over the years. So what they're trying to do, remember, it's psyche, you know. They're trying to make it as if it's running out, it's niche for consumers to.
Tanzanite's sort of a light blue color.
Yeah, right? you get what we call a triple A, so that's like your top notch. Triple A, it's like your vivid, violent blue. Beautiful.
Sounds amazing.
Yep.
All right, what else are we still? We've still got rubies, emerald, sapphires.
Rubies, emerald. For the past 3 years, what we've been selling a lot is a new stone. It just popped out of nowhere and became very fashionable. It's called a morganite. So morganite,
what color is that? Pink?
Peach pink. You know, it's a gemstone, not too expensive, but it works well with your rose gold metal.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, Mubs, what are you going for here? If you had to get yourself a present, let's say you suddenly found you were rolling in money, and I know you're not massively showy about jewelry, but if you had to buy
something,
what would you go for?
Yeah, but I mean, let's face it, if I started rolling in money, I'd be flashy about everything.
Sure.
My clothes, my car, my house.
Sure, of course you would.
My accessories.
Right, what color stone and what kind of ring are we looking at here, Mubs?
Sorry, I'm paging through the...
Imagine this is you at the counter in Ben & Company, and Becky says to you, whatever your heart's desire...
I do kind of prefer the thinner bands as opposed to the big, thick, chunky mm-hmm. ones. So I think that's where I would start. Something more simplistic than flashy or showy. I think that's more my taste.
So diamonds?
Yes.
Okay.
I find that millennials, they're exactly going what you just described.
Oh,
you know,
really?
They're going for... simple, but they put much more focus on the diamond, so they can go for a very, very massive big diamond, and the band just becomes like
as straightforward as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about the men wedding bands? I mean, you know,
what do men want? I mean, do men come in for jewelry? Because men have started wearing quite a lot of jewelry in the last 100 years.
For the past 24 months or so, I've been selling a lot to the rugby guys.
Oh.
So there's what we call a tungsten metal. Tungsten metal is those black plain wedding gents band. They are so popular. They gents just love them because they don't scratch easily.
It's very hard.
But interestingly enough, it's hard, but it doesn't scratch. But when you throw it, when it falls, it can actually shatter.
Oh. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. I'm amazed. This is terrific. I had no idea there was so much interesting stuff going on here with all of this. Do you find it difficult work or is it fun work to do?
It's fun because it's a passion. You know, it's difficult in it's difficult because, look, jewelry is not. I always say jewelry is not. You're not selling bread. You're selling an emotional purchase.
You know,
you need clients to buy into the brand before you can actually make a sale. So that's the difficult part.
Well, Becky, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm fascinated. I still have so many questions, but we're out of time for this morning. His company's called Ben & Co. And congrats on starting this business of yours.
Thank
I hope you.
You
have more and more success and start making a noise in that board that you're on.
Thank you so much. All Thanks right, for man. The invite.
All right. We'll obviously, Ben will be seeing you about an engagement ring at some point, and then Mabali will come to you when she's loaded with cash.
Yes, I will.
Very, very nice. There we go. That's begging gamma. All right. I don't know if we can get hold of him still. We're trying to get hold of George Meany, but if we don't do it today, then we'll definitely start it next week. Is he there? Is he on the line now? Skype? Or on the phone? Is he here? Oh, George! Come in here. I want to talk to George. What we want to do every Friday is kind of catch up with George about what the big stories are, not only in motoring, because they've got the Auto Central show, which is on Monday, which is live, but also to just find out what the big headlines are in terms of what's going on in South Africans, our roads, our favorite cars, our least favorite cars, all kinds of information. And there's always breaking news in this area. So, George, it's nice to see you. How are you, sir?
How's it, Gareth? Good, and you?
Good. I was looking around and I couldn't see you, and I thought maybe he's on the phone.
I think I was hiding behind your screens there.
Okay. How are you?
I'm good.
You've been busy? I heard you were in Dubai.
I was in Dubai.
What did you
awesome
go there?
Awesome city.
What did you go there for?
For work. So there was a conference that I attended. They asked me to speak at a conference about our new piece of software called AutoFusion.
What is that?
Which is a dealer tool. Helps dealers price cars. And
Becky, what kind of car are you driving at the moment? Come on, you're talking to the right guy here.
I drive a very small car,
Peugeot.
Yeah, the okay. GT line.
Well, you're busy putting money in your business, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, nothing wrong with the Peugeot 308.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong.
All right. So, George, we're going to talk to you every week. Just catch up on some of the big stories. What do you got for us this week?
So, have you ever driven down a road and by mistake hit a speed bump without seeing it?
Yes. Yeah. Often.
Twice.
It's unbelievable. And the problem is they don't always have those chevrons on the sides.
And
that's the issue.
And sometimes it's also in the shadow of a tree or something.
Yeah.
Everybody, even the most focus driver has had this happen to them, and it does your shocks no good. It can do damage to your car.
Or your internal organs.
Yeah, exactly.
So
get your head on the ceiling.
And some of our stop streets, have you noticed, just got lines, no stop sign.
Yeah. Okay. What is that?
Don't know. Just a lack of signage, I think.
So who's responsible? The municipalities?
Municipality. Same Department
people,
of
same
Transport.
People who give us potholes to
exactly.
deal with. All right.
So Mercedes-Benz has used South Africa, or decided to use South Africa as a test environment, Cape Town particularly, for their autonomous car.
Mm-hmm.
In Cape Town, the rural area, and in the city.
It's going to be a lot of accidents.
I wouldn't be surprised. They want two particular pieces of data. The ability for the radar detection system to read the roads with a limited amount of signage, mm-hmm. like the chevrons and
right.
the stop streets, and to be able to detect pedestrians, because apparently South Africa has a high jaywalking population.
Mm-hmm. And a large rate of pedestrian death, actually.
As a matter of fact, 38% of all of our road deaths are pedestrian.
No, that's quite worrying. And I suppose for that reason, it's a great place to test these cars, because if they can figure out our environment, then in a place where they're full of rules like Australia or Switzerland, they won't have any problems.
Exactly, exactly. So good on Mercedes-Benz. I think
very nice.
This autonomous vehicle thing is.
I mean, I don't love the reasons. Love the reasons they've chosen us, but sure. Okay. By the way, what kind of a wedding ring have you got on there?
Oh, yeah, good point. So, platinum with black diamonds.
Okay. Wow.
Is that
can
popular?
I have a look at that? George has got the. What is a black diamond, Beggy?
Look, a black diamond is a gemstone.
I thought there were people who'd done really well from tenders.
No? A black diamond is a gemstone.
Okay, what is the actual...
A very, very...
Because I always understood that the only black stones you got were like onyx, right?
No. A black diamond is a very, very,
very
unique,
nice.
Unique stone. Very popular.
Yeah?
Yeah, very popular. And, yeah...
It's a masculine thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see a lot of girls walking around with black diamonds.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's very...
I thought the normal diamonds would be a bit too blingy.
That's very nice, George.
But
and it's thick, too.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
The only problem with platinum is it scratches easily.
You think so? Scratches less easily than gold.
Look at this thing. It was shiny when I got it.
Yeah. Look, jewelry is like cars.
Oh, okay.
You have to come back and
that's why I wanted to introduce you to each other.
We've got some common ground there.
All right, what else have you got for me?
So when I mention the word vending machines, what do you think of? I think of chocolates.
Yeah, or cans of soft drinks, I suppose.
Cans of soft drinks. Or underwear in Japan.
All right, well, there's that as well.
Well, their next door neighbor, China, in conjunction with Alibaba and Ford, are creating a vending machine for cars.
You can go to a vending machine, put your money in, and get a car out.
Well, I think they're going to start it off with test drives of cars.
Big vending machine.
And, look at this thing.
Let me see that.
It's a building.
It's a building with cars in it. And you can go and order your car in the vending machine. Now, the dealers aren't happy, obviously, because the dealers make all the money out of their network. But apparently Ford isn't very strong in China, so this is their way of accessing the market.
It's breaking in, right? That's fascinating. What else have you got for us?
So this is a fascinating story. Do you know what the Aston Martin Valkyrie looks like?
Ben will. Have you seen it?
I've seen pictures. I haven't seen it on the road yet, though.
I don't think there's one in South Africa, to be honest.
All right. Valkyrie.
Aston Martin Valkyrie. It looks like a spaceship.
Okay.
So this one Indian gentleman, he's decided he doesn't want to be normal, and he's acquired himself a moon rock. Got this moon rock crushed, and is mixing it in the paint, and got a paint shop to spray his car with this moon rock.
As if this car isn't already next generation space age. Now it's actually made of moon rock colored paint.
Moon rock colored paint.
God,
it's going to be
beautiful.
Burgundy,
what a car.
Burgundy red.
This is a strange looking car, huh? I mean, it's beautiful, but it's just very different.
I think it belongs on the moon.
You don't like it?
It looks space age. No, I think it's beautiful, but it's just so out
there. Take a look at this,
Aston
Peggy.
Martin.
It's a nice looking car.
It is, eh?
Man. Beautiful. All right. Very, very good. What do those retail for, George?
37 million rand.
Oh, wait.
37 million rand. But the funny thing is if he's acquired an actual moon rock to spray onto this car, the moon rock itself would have cost him 51 million rand. So they're speculating that it's probably a meteorite that has come from the moon, and which would have cost him about 10 million.
Well, here's another area that you and Becky overlap in. The most expensive metal that you can get, the rarest metal on Earth, is iridium. And iridium just falls, I think it's the one side of platinum on the periodic table, that this stuff you do not get anywhere. It only comes from meteorites.
Oh, really?
There's so little of it on Earth that it mostly comes from things that have crashed into Earth from outer space. So there's a very rare metal. I don't think they make too many parts of cars. Interestingly, they might make the very tips of spark plugs out of iridium sometimes because it's extremely strong.
Conductive.
Conductive. And it also doesn't react very much with anything, so it won't deteriorate over time.
Yeah.
So there we go. Something else you two have in common.
Right.
You didn't know you were going to meet a famous jeweler this morning, and you didn't know you'd meet the CEO of Auto Trader.
All right.
You got some more stuff for us?
Yeah, one last thing. The Philippine government has embarked on bulldozing cars. Because they have a problem with people illegally smuggling the cars into the country and avoiding the 50% import tax. My solution? Lower the frickin' import tax.
What do they why would you bulldoze a car?
The president is trying to make a statement.
But this is that Duterte guy, right?
Exactly.
Okay, well, he's a bit of a lunatic. He's like Donald Trump on steroids.
He is absolutely loose. So he just picks these cars and then he sells them for scrap metal.
So you bring in a car. It's your car. Mm. He picks it up with a bulldozer and just sells it without you. Takes it away from you.
Just takes it away from you.
So what a monster.
He is an absolute monster.
Try that with us.
Oh, wait. I got another story for you.
Okay.
Volvo, safest car in the world.
Well, that's what they...
That's what they claim.
Yeah.
But they're going one step further. You got a dog, don't you?
Yes.
Yes. Do you put your dog in your car?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay. So Volvo's come out with a drive that is a harness for a dog, and they're making clips and nets and things for their Volvos that'll keep your dog safe. Because apparently, if a dog catapults in a car during an accident, it can hit your body at 40 times its own weight.
Jeez. So a dog can be a dangerous weapon in the car, not to mention the danger it could do to itself, you know?
Exactly.
Damage.
Exactly. So Volvo's got this this drive to try and make dog traveling safer.
Well, there we go. You see, this is what we want to do with George once a week. You can always catch hashtag Auto Central. It's on Mondays, and we do a repeat every second week. It's a great show. It's got way more detail than George and I will get into in a 5 minutes that we have every week. But it's lovely to see you, George, and we'll catch up again next week.
Cheers, Gareth.
There we go. Some useful and interesting info.
Nice meeting you.
Thanks to our guests, to Begging Gamma, to Ben, to Mabali, to George Meany, and to you. We will see you on Monday between 6 and 9. Don't forget cliffcentral.com live today from the Lifestyle Home and Garden Center. We've got all of our shows broadcasting live from there. It's going to be fantastic. Pop by and say hello. Here's what you need to know. First of all, Cape Town's Save Water mascot has officially been named the scariest thing on earth in the lives of children this century. In a poll conducted this week, it beat out a whole host of monsters like the Togolosh, the Great White Shark, even Bob Hewitt. Patricia DeLille has defended the mascot, though, saying its sole purpose was to push back Day Zero, and it's having great success with that. Vaping is now illegal in your car. In Britain, if you caught vaping while driving, you'd know this, George?
No.
Yeah? You
Gee,
could
whiz.
Instantly lose your license. Many say this punishment's a little harsh, considering people who vape are already living with the reality of being society's biggest losers.
Have you seen the plumes of smoke?
It's crazy. I saw some guy in the traffic yesterday with a vape. And the Winter Olympics comes to a close this weekend, and with that, the athletes have to go back to everyday life. This means having sex with normal people, having to cook their own food and their small apartments, and doing other jobs to try and get by. Only 1,442 days until the next one, though, so I guess it isn't all doom and gloom. Coming up, a discussion I had just this week with Barry Hilton, one of South Africa's most well-known and beloved comedians. That's up next on CliffCentral.com. Have a great day. We will see you on Monday.
This is CliffCentral.com.